I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The boys scrambled out of the tree, got on their knees because the worst thing that could happen to a colored kid in the South was for a parent to hear that a child was acting up. There would be no appeals, the punishment swift and physical. The arbitrary nature of grown people's wrath gave colored children practice for life in the caste system, which is why parents forced to train their children in the ways of subservience treated their children as the white people running things treated them. It was preparation for the lower caste role children were expected to have mastered by puberty. For a young colored boy in the South, the caste barrier is an ever-present solid fact, John Dollard, an anthropologist studying the region's caste system, wrote at the time. His education is incomplete until he has learned to make some adjustment to it. The Negro must haul down his social expectations and resign himself to a relative immobility. Indeed, breaking from protocol could get people like George killed. Under Jim Crow, only white people could sit in judgment of a colored person on trial. White hearsay had more weight than a colored eyewitness. Colored people had to put on a show of cheerful subservience and unquestioning obedience in the presence of white people or face the consequences of being out of line. If children didn't learn their place, they could get on the wrong side of a white person and the parents could do nothing to save them. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on Tuesday for real this time. We're ready to do some podcasting.
The real Tuesday.
Yes, the real Tuesday. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all those places that you find different podcasts. We appreciate you for listening, leaving us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher especially, so we can read those on Saturday morning and give you feedback. Doesn't matter what area of the world you're in. Mm-mm. We would love to hear from you. Leave us a nice 5-star review and we'll read it on the air. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
what about
a bullet ball extreme? And that excerpt that I read was from the warmth of other suns, which I had talked about a couple days ago. I'm reading this book by Isabel Wilkerson and it's just flying off the page. It's amazing book. So
yeah, because some of the stuff you read about it just touches home to let you know that a lot of your life experiences and some of the things you haven't experienced since you just thought these things were fact are actually facts. And you go, oh, I'm not crazy, I'm not a lunatic, this shit's been happening for a long time. I might not have had the words for it when I was young, and shit, still might not have the words for it as an adult, you know, because I'm constantly learning and growing and evolving. But then you go, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, I remember this happened when I was a child. What was the name of that store? Was it People's? Yes, People's, the old school store. It was down at, I want to say it was down at the Freedom Mall, which now is torn down. I think it's DSS now. And it was me and my aunt and one of her friends and her friend's son. And we had, if I'm not mistaken, we had went out there and we were shopping and all that stuff. But when we got ready to leave, the people, my aunt, she was going off. And I was a child, I didn't really even understand what she was going off about and what she was mad about. But it just so happened that the people there had accused her of stealing like some shoes she had on, right? They don't even sell these shoes at the store. But they had accused her of that, and my aunt was going smack off. She was like, "How dare you accuse me?" And me being a child and not knowing no better, all from my perspective, all I see is my aunt making a scene, not really understanding why. Like I said, not really understanding the things behind it, you know. They end up calling the police and everything. They was like, "You gotta show a receipt for what's in your bag." I mean, the whole nine yards. And they ended up you know, letting us go. But it was just the fact that even then I knew something was right. I couldn't explain what was right. I knew something was abnormal. I knew that at that time I didn't know that it was racial profiling, but I was like, something now, right? I was like, whatever this is really got me irritated, you know. But you know, parents go and adults go through those things, but they don't ever take the time to actually sit down and talk to a child, mm-hmm. and explain why the reactions and the realities of things. It's like, I'd rather beat these things into you versus actually talk to you like you're a human being and have a discussion with you. And because children are very intelligent, parents underestimate the intelligence of their child, and they underestimate what their child can understand and comprehend. People just assume that children are dumb. Children are small people. They're small people, so that means they are a person. But a lot of times when it comes to children, some people treat children as though they're an animal, as though they're a dog, a cat, or a chair. They treat children like property. You know, children are the few things in this world that almost don't have rights, quote unquote. You can almost treat a child any way you want to. Now we have DSS and all that stuff that comes in the home, but you know, if it's not brought to them attention and nobody is reporting it, that child literally has nothing protecting them. And so you reading this made me think about, you know, how my mama used to say some of the quote unquote cliches of, you know, I spank you so that the police don't have to. I beat you so, you know, you don't go out here and get killed by somebody. Well, you know, like these were the words that I have been told, you know, a lot throughout my life. And so, you know, it was just one of those things to where that kind of hits home. You know, I always have known that I was, you know, black. And so for me, I still lived a life of quote-unquote freedom, but I always, even as an adult, I'm always aware of my presence. Ooh. I'm always looking around me. I'll just say, I always look to see how many white people are around me. Like I start counting, and if the number gets so high, sometimes I'll just leave if I don't feel friendly in the environment and things like that. Because you go, I don't know what may happen or what may persuade this to turn left. And you know, black people have always had to deal with that. And, you know, white people wonder why, you know, some niggas don't like to go to parties where it's all white people and shit like that. Cause I go, no. I don't know if or when this crowd may turn against me, and I have nobody to represent me, and I can't defend myself if this crowd decides to turn the wrong way.
Yeah. I definitely think about some of the cliches that I've heard as a kid of the, you know, I hit you because I love you. Mm-hmm. I hit you because, these white people gonna, you know, if I don't beat you, the police gonna do it. Stuff like that, you know, it's wild because at the same time, it's like, it's what was done to our parents and handed down from their parents and the parents before that. And in a large part is what was handed down to them from white people that beat the slaves. So it's become, like, to me personally, I feel like it's a generational curse. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of black people that break it. Yeah. Like, yes. I, you know, maybe I'm overly protective or whatever of children, but you know, I like to see people that say stuff like, I'm not gonna hit my kid and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've never raised a kid. I don't know how difficult that is to pledge to. I don't know how many people have made that pledge and broken it. I don't know, you know, over the course of 18 years or whatever the fuck, I don't know if somebody, you know, sets out with that in a goal and then ends up hitting their kid at some point and regretting it or whatever. But I do know that, you know, that stuff is traumatic, and people, you know, there's always gonna be a love, like there's always gonna be a response to my parents of like, I love my parents, but at the same time, I did get whoopings. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I then turn around and be like, I hate my parents, the worst parents in the world. But you know, if I think about it, it's like, I wouldn't do that to a child if I had a child. So, and that's not something I always believed.
I've even spanked children before. Yes.
Yeah. When I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, this is just how it is, and you did the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like one of the things I realized too was when I was younger was like, it wasn't chill to me, the age to pop a kid or some shit. It just seemed like certain people is so young.
Right.
And so these lessons I'm learning from a person that feeds me and protects me and clothes me, and then they also hit me sometimes, you know. if somebody was in a romantic relationship where they get hit, we would be like, what are you doing in that? You should get out. And to the person hitting them, that's not what you do to somebody you love. But when it's children, it's like you said, it's like they have no rights. So, and then also, I understand, and maybe that's what it is, as you get older, you understand why somebody, when literally they feel like it's life or death, and they feel like the fear they're instilling into you is going to save your life. And right. I make the joke, but I'm serious to a certain extent. A whooping probably has saved my life. You know, it's probably been a few times where I was about to do some wild shit, or some boys that up the street was about to get into some crazy shit, and I was like, nope, that's the kind of shit you get a whooping for. All right, y'all have a good one. I'm going back home tonight. You know, and maybe
I can hear my mama's voice.
Yeah, like maybe you hope that that you wouldn't, maybe in a different reality, them talking to me would have got the same effect, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, it's something to think about because it's generational. And I'm glad that it's dying down somewhat. I don't know what studies say, but it seems to be dying down somewhat, and I hope it continues to. I actually hate and don't share and don't even make jokes about these videos of people like hitting their kids online or telling their kids to fight another kid or any of that stuff, especially with black children. It's too close to me, it's too dear to me, and to me it just looks like abuse. And when we laugh and celebrate it feel like we celebrating abuse, you know. And I know that people do that in a lot of areas, you know. To be frank, I don't even watch the videos of people wilding out at Popeyes. Like,
no,
I just, it's certain things I'm just like, I understand why it would be funny, but I also feel like us somehow glorifying it and celebrating it and laughing at it to a certain extent feels like, to me, it feels like it's condoning it. Because it's not like a comedy album where I'm laughing at a joke that was made to be a joke, so it's just a joke. If I'm laughing at somebody like, you know, body slamming their son because he came home from school late, I feel like I'm not that's not supposed to be a joke. That's a real kid, that's a real parent that really is being put on the line. So yeah, and it definitely did bring back the memories of just how afraid I was of a whooping. The all-purpose, all-looming, always watching whooping. The, you know, I could talk to I'll tell your parents you was down here doing blah blah blah, or you know, whatever. And it also made me feel like as a kid I didn't have the same rights. And I know you don't have the same rights as an adult, but it made me feel like I didn't have the same rights as other kids, like, that weren't black. So it was like it put into me early to let me know, like, if you get accused of something, you did that shit, or at least you gonna get in trouble for whatever circumstances led to you even being close to that situation. So whereas another kid could be like, yeah, I went to a party and I got punched in the face, but I didn't do nothing wrong, I would feel like I'm getting in trouble for being at the party, possibly. If the kid walked up to me and stepped on my shoe and I said, hey, and then they punched me, I'm getting in trouble for whatever I did to escalate it, because, you know, you don't have the same, room, the same space to fuck up.
Yeah, and also I think for me is one of those things. How can I say this? Everybody, because like I said, I laugh at anything, but there are some lines that I draw. Everybody has their lines, and this shit that we joke about that people draw their line on, everybody like, that shit not funny. Cool. But for me, it's them videos. I don't watch them. I don't click them. I know. You know, the one years ago of the bus driver popping that woman. I'm not watching that shit. Why? Because I'm a black woman. Why? You know, like for me, I'm like, that's not funny. You know, two black women fighting and scrapping on the street, that's not funny to me. Because to me, what would be funny if it was a skit? What would be funny is if you paid actors. What would be funny is to go, okay, at the end, I know nobody got a concussion. Nobody died. Nobody, you know, at the end, I could go, okay, it's almost like a reset. But no. Those are real people fucking each other up. Right. And there are consequences and repercussions to those actions.
And I want to be clear. It's not because of, like, the white gaze or any of that shit. It bothers me whether anyone else sees the shit or not. If you send me a video and it was only I'm the only person in the world that's ever gonna see this video, and here's just two black girls fighting at the pool, you're wasting your time. I don't want to see the shit, you know. Like, it's just, to me, it's just something disheartening about celebrating that. I know it happens, I know it's normal that people have violence, but I can't celebrate it. It's not right. And it always makes me think about this generational trauma and how much of it goes back to, you know, the fact that we're hitting our kids, and that we are hitting our kids and conflating it with love. So it's like the, you know, and like how many of us grow up and have normalized abusive relationships where someone in a relationship hits the other person, and part of it is because I love you. Well, where'd they first learn that model of love? From somebody that hit them that said it's because I love you, you know?
Right. And also, one more thing I want to add on, something you said that really stuck out, where you go, it's almost like a trial, you know, like the kid is on trial. Like, if, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I've been told, you know, if the teacher called me, I don't give a fuck, I'm gonna believe the teacher, I don't give a fuck what happened, you did whatever they said you did. Like, that was my mama's philosophy. She was like, the teacher's not gonna waste their time calling me unless you did something to provoke them to call me. Regardless of what happened, my mama did not want to hear any excuses. So when you say it's a trial, yeah, it's a trial. Yeah. And the parent is the judge, jury, and executioner.
And life is a trial for black people, and white people are judge, jury, executioner.
Correct.
You know, literally, in this, you know, in that example you pointed out, white people are the only ones that could be on juries in the South. So, and I think people hit their kids for the illusion of control.
Right.
Because it's like, I can stop white supremacy from hurting you by hurting you first and teaching you to work within the boundaries of your life and to not try to achieve anything outside of that, or stand out too much, or stand up for yourself. And it's, you know, it's very conflicting to kids. And I say this, I'm still conflicted about it, because I guarantee you I can laugh and bond over trauma with the best of them, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, like, someone bring up a story about some whoopings or something, I'm like, oh man, I remember this time, you know, like, and I'm laughing. You know, like I don't know what that means, really, you know. And of course, anyone listening to the show know I love my parents to death, you know, but it's just interesting to think about that way, that I'm like, you know, someone brings up this, I'm like, man, I remember this time we got a whooping for blah blah blah, you remember this, me and my brother Mike, oh man, Rodney, you remember when we did this, you know, like that, like, there's, and we're laughing, and we're like sometimes laughing to the point of tears, not sadness but funniness. And you know, I just accept that that's something that will always, that parallel, that duality, that conflict is always going to exist in me. And I've over the years, I've found it in a lot of black people. You know, we don't talk about this like, you know, I was abused. We talk about it like, oh my god, I remember getting whoopings. You remember messing up your play clothes after church? You get a whooping because you don't put your play clothes on, and you mess up your church clothes. Like, every black person know it.
And it's almost like we talk about it as veterans of war, because it's literally kind of the
but you know what though, thing. No, because maybe war people do laugh about this shit, but I mean, in a way of like, it's something about the fact that it was done out of quote-unquote love that makes us almost, you know what I'm saying, it's like you almost find, like, it's funny to a certain extent. It's, well, this was also love. And I know that that's, you know, I'm sure some psychologist somewhere listening to this shit, like, that's not healthy, but it is my reality. That is how it is. I've connected with people on those topics my whole life.
And when I say it's like veterans of war, no, we have not gone through a war, but you have been traumatized. You're bonding over a shared experience of discussing these things, and there are emotions behind that, really, sadness, laughter, like, there are emotions behind, hey, I've been through this, hey, I've been through this too. And you talk about the scenario in the situation, and it's a bond, almost like a unit that happens over you discussing it. When that was my definition of it. I'm not comparing it to people that have went to war, because I've never went to war, but you know, it's just one of those things where it's just a shared experience.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I don't know if you heard it in there, but you might be right, because maybe I haven't been to war and I haven't bonded with veterans, so maybe veterans do laugh about some of the shit that they experience, and we're just not part of those conversations. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
Maybe it is exactly like what you're saying, you know? I definitely think all black people that got whooping PTSD, so.
Right.
You know, I think that's, it can be triggered by anything, such as, ooh, like that's a good one, you know?
Like, I'm gonna tell mama.
Right. wait till your mama get home. And what's
even worse is the and particularly me being an only child and not having any brothers and sisters. And one reason why I didn't, I'm just gonna keep it real, one reason why I didn't like to go out and particularly and spend time with like other family members that I didn't know, the niggas was bad. They were just getting the shit and all that stuff, just being kids. But you know what? People were coming in talking about, I don't know who did that whooping everybody, and I was stopped in right there. I was like, no, I was not a part, and you ain't gonna beat me.
Yeah, one time I got a whooping for some shit Rodney did. It was so ridiculous. Like, cause it was the kind of shit that I would never do. Like, he drew on the wall with some crayons, and I was way past playing with crayons age, and he wouldn't admit to the shit, so we both got hit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, now why are you even hitting me? To teach this nigga to be honest, just whoop him and
get it over with.
Anyway, let's get into the show, guys.
Get over it.
We have
butterfly in the sky. I can go twice the sky. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Let's see. More information came out about the Kaepernick stuff, and okay. This is why I be waiting on shit, because I feel like, listen, I'd rather be slow to be right than quick and wrong, or quick and right but for the wrong reasons and shit. And all the stuff that was coming out was stuff that you can confirm, so I was like, I can just wait until one of these motherfucking journalizing enterprising ass people look at the facts and just relay the shit to us. The main thing that I was like, really like, okay, cool, I see exactly what's up, was someone finally did, and I just said it yesterday, say this is the difference between the waiver Kaepernick got and the waiver that the NFL does for regular standard tryouts. Mm-hmm. And there was an extra clause in there that basically said that they wanted to make sure the workout did not give the appearance of guaranteeing him a job, and in that case he would not be able to sue them for not having said job. But the fact that it was not the standard waiver, in my opinion, completely means the NFL was on some bullshit. I don't know how else you can interpret that, and I wouldn't have signed anything if I was him and if I was his people, because if I do get him to sign that and it does fuck up his ability to file another collusion lawsuit or something like that, I now have done my client such a huge disservice, and everyone will say, you played yourself.
Yep. He gave that thing to his lawyer. They read that and said, fuck no.
Yeah, so that's not, that shit was not cool at all. Then the second thing is, Howard Bryant, he's a journalist who covers like sports, and he broke down a thread this morning of the timeline of the events, right? Mm-hmm. Update. Spoke with numerous sources today to clarify some points. Kaepernick's team heard from the NFL on Tuesday 11-12 and was told of Saturday's workout. They weren't given 36 hours to consider the offer. They were given 2, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. take it or leave it. Right, because I heard conflicting things about that. Like, they had up to 48 hours. They had this. They had 2 hours. 2, Kaepernick's team told the NFL there were too many issues to resolve with such short notice and proposed the following Tuesday, which was also a work day, allowing teams' top decision makers to attend and buy negotiation more time. The NFL said no. Cap's attorney said if Saturday was such a magical day, then let's move it to the following Saturday.
Right.
They also said no to that, and they left Kaepernick to agree to the trial before Hugh Jackson and Joe Philbin knew they were running it or teams knew a workout was even happening.
So they hadn't talked or discussed anything with anybody.
This is another reason that I truly do believe that the effort was spearheaded by Roger Goodell and probably Jay-Z, from pressure from Jay-Z, because that's something that sounds like the NFL office was doing, not the NFL teams were doing.
Correct.
Like, we're gonna hold a trial, we're gonna get this guy basically his own combine, and you guys, we need to get his commitment first, and then we'll work on getting the team's commitment, which also means it was kind of shoddily thrown together, my assumption. Number four, on Tuesday, the NFLPA says it reached out to offer assistance, especially on the details of the waiver, which eventually doomed the deal. A PA source says the Kaepernick team was not particularly receptive, but the NFLPA did have a representative at Saturday's workout. Yeah, and I mean, to a certain extent, I can understand why you don't trust the NFLPA if you're Kaepernick, because this is the same weak-ass PA that let you get drummed out of the league and never really had any support. I still don't understand how this did not just become an issue where they said, as a union of players, we are going to hold out or something until this dude gets back in the league. Like, we need some type of protest and support. I so many other leagues, I feel like, now, I'm not saying back in the day, but so many leagues now feel like something, like either the more outspoken athletes would say something, or I don't know, maybe it's a pipe dream and they wouldn't, but it just seemed like if it was the NBA or something, they'd be like, nah, this ain't right.
And also, I might be wrong, but also just the mentality of the NFL, it is that fucking shield over everything. And once you kind of join the fraternity, it is team over individuals. It is any individual fuck it up, unless you're certain individuals, it becomes a problem. You are the enemy. You know, you're not going along with the unit, even though you are doing it for your own individual benefit, and also for their benefit too, because you know everybody gets paid more. They don't want to be able to hear that. Like mm-hmm. people have bought into the structure of right. that, and once you have bought into that structure, I don't see anybody buying into that structure supporting, because you would actually step outside, and next thing you know, you're over there with him without a job.
Yeah, when Le'Veon Bell held out, his teammates made jokes about him and turned on him
and went through his locker. Like, it was fucked up. I didn't think that was funny at all. It was right. fucked up the way they did that.
Yep. And then turn the next year, you got other people holding out wanting their money.
Right, because that's the thing, nobody cares to just them. Like it's all cool and ha ha ha, and you're not with the team until it's your time to renew, and they're lowballing your black ass, and then you're like, hey dog, wouldn't know what's up with this. But it was funny when it's somebody else's money.
Number five, by priority, the filming was a deal breaker for two entities suing each other. That was the non-starter, a cap attorney told me. An independent camera made Colin believe it was a show of good faith after years of bad faith. NFL sources say workout itself equals good faith. So Colin Kaepernick and them wanted another camera there from their crew to be like, we want to film this ourselves, because we don't trust y'all. In case y'all chop this up to make us look bad,
right,
we can be like, no, this is what actually happened at the workout.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big problem, because the NFL said no. They said it's good faith that we're even offering you a workout.
Right, they like, you better be glad we even opened this up for you. He's like, bitch, what?
Right, and you're talking about a person you iced out of the league for 3 years.
Right.
Why the fuck should I feel that I can trust you or grateful for this opportunity?
That's
you
what it was.
Owe me
grateful.
This opportunity. I have earned this opportunity. Everyone in the fucking world knows it. Sorry, I'm not trying to get mad, but it's just, it's such a ridiculous thing to put somebody through that you froze out, not that chose to hold out, and you like, you froze me out, and now you're like, well, we don't think, I mean, why would you want to film it? You know why. Number six, to Cap's attorney, none of the issues were unresolvable, and they were convinced the deal would get done. The filming issue took precedent over the more important waiver issue, because Kaepernick's team had no intention of signing it as presented. I don't know if he was going to do the workout without signing a waiver or what. Number seven, NFL Cap and the NFL conflicted over a key point, the post-workout interview. If Cap said he would continue kneeling, would he be protected if his answer prompted no team to sign him? The PA said yes, the NFLPA, Players Association, because of a 2019 deal protecting players from reprisal. Eric Reed and Kenny Stills, you know, they still kneel, and they have jobs. Number eight, Cap's attorney says no, because the waiver forfeited his rights to take action against anything occurring at the workout, thus freeing the NFL from a potential second collusion suit. The terms were so broad, I agree with the tweet, it would have been malpractice to sign it. So they interpreted that clause of that waiver differently.
Because it was so vague.
Yeah. Number nine, relocation. And now I see why they brought their own waiver, to be like, we'll sign this, absolving you of anything if I get hurt or blah blah blah. But essentially at the end of this press conference, when I get asked these questions by the media, and if they say, hey, are you still gonna kneel, and I say yes, and then I do not hear back from 32 teams, I'm gonna be like, oh, so y'all still colluding against me. You know, and I still say I'm not 1,000% sure that it's collusion. I don't think in a world where 31 rich white men and one rich brown man own all the teams, I highly doubt they have to talk to each other to not want Kaepernick on their team. But that being said, he should still be able to sue to find out. Anyway, number nine, relocation became a possibility late Friday, early Saturday, as talks disintegrated. Cap's attorney, it looked coordinated, but it was because Colin has so much support on the ground here with his Know Your Rights work in Atlanta. So I guess they reached out to, well, I don't want to assume. It's like, it just sounds like somehow people got word of where he was going to be at, and it was open to the public,
and they showed up.
Yeah.
Like he had people that was like, okay, gotcha. And they started making phone calls.
And just for the record, if nothing fucking else, that in itself should show you why he should be in the league. Even if he was sorry as shit, the fact that he motivated people to drive to an unknown destination on an hour and a half notice in fucking Atlanta traffic.
Come on.
And people showed up in his jersey and shit. You're fucking crazy. Like, it's crazy to not sign him. People, there are just as many fucking people that want to see him play as the people that fucking boo or whatever. And there's a lot more people that honestly don't give a fuck.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't even give a fuck. They be sitting in that thing like, okay. I eat a hot dog during the anthem anyway. Number 10, one source said it was while the fault of the weekend to not get the workout done at the Falcons facility was 80-20 the NFL's fault. The relationship with Cap is scorched earth. Cap needed to reach out. Others believe the footage will spur curious GMs, coaches to watch. I think a lot of people that are like hashtag Team Cap have a problem with this logic, and I'm sorry if they do, but he did escalate it as well. It doesn't mean it's the same.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't mean like, well, both parties are the same amount of fault. No, the NFL was running a sham workout and he went to the other field and did his thing, but you know, the shirt, he also is saying I'm still, you know, I'm also saying fuck y'all, that don't y'all scared of me, and stop, you know, stop running from me, stop running from the people. Like, he was escalating it, I think, like, reasonably so, because I understand exactly why the fuck he would be mad and upset. It's been 3 years. Like, it's not a condemnation of the dude to be like, yeah, they tried to play him, he played them back and had the last word. What do you want me to say? Number 11, next, Nally went on, sent all 32 teams the raw footage of the workout with a note offering Colin to speak to any team either by phone or in person. Nally said they are considering a second workout during the owners meeting at Palm Beach in March, where all 32 owners, GMs, and coaches will be. So yeah, I think that was it. So yeah, and then he went on what's that show, First Take with Stephen A. Smith, because after I saw this shit, I said, okay, Stephen A. Smith yesterday, you're mad, you got called a coon by Eric Reed, you say your sources this, that, and the other, okay, cool. They had Howard Bryant on the Stephen A on the First Take, and it wasn't like yesterday when they had Max Kellerman going up against Stephen A and Michael Eric Dyson, who were kind of on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
This time Howard Bryant, very very calm, very deferential, but also very stand up, and these are the facts, I did my research, this is what I know. And Stephen A. Smith moved that damn goalpost to, well if the league is so corrupt, why do you even want to work for him? And that's basically where he, like, because he could not refute this man's facts, but he kept saying, like, basically everybody got their own set of facts, which is his way of saying, like, I can choose to say what you saying is bullshit, and my sources are telling me the truth. And like Max Kellerman said on the show, then maybe your source lied to you. Maybe they also don't know they lied to you, maybe they was told something, and it's, you know, and
that's
like
true too.
Maybe you just got some bad information because Howard did the fucking research. Sports Illustrated, Pro Football Talk, all these people now have copies of the waiver. They're putting them online. Like, to me, these are the questions I was asking, and I asked a lot of questions because I was like, I'm a lot of this is assumption, and this is how it looks without knowing all the shit. And now we have some definitive answers. Dog, you was wrong. You know, and I would, instead, you know, he did this grandstanding on like, you know, nobody's blacker than me. You know, that shit that he does, you know, ask about me. I did this. Terrell Owens texted me and he said that I'm not, he was like, Terrell Owens said, you're on the wrong side of this, bro. You got some bad information. I'm like, did Terrell tell you to say it to Twitter, to the world on your national show? Or was that like in confidence, like from a friend trying to help you? Cause he was also on Terrell's side when Terrell Owens was like, I think boycotting the Hall of Fame or something. And he was like, and that was okay because Terrell didn't even want to go to the Hall of Fame. When he won his award, he gave a speech at like a local high school or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like he's saying that's what Kaepernick should be doing. Go play in the CFL or whatever. And Terrell Owens hit him up like, don't use me as an example. I don't agree with that. Kaepernick is right. You wrong. You're on the wrong side of this and you got some bad information. And he started talking like, ask about the hundreds of thousands of dollars I gave to HBCUs, huh? What about that? I'm not black enough. I'm like, oh god, this is turning, and I hate that it happened to him, but it could happen to any of us. I'm not trying to put myself above anyone right. else. You get called a coon, man, and when it hits you, it's hard to just go back to, like, most self-respecting black people gonna have a fucking moment with that. Like, you hate to see, because I think he don't want to back down, because now if I back down on these facts, then I'm backing down on me. It's like I'm saying, okay, I'm a coon. I carried the league's water that time. But I would have had a lot more respect for him this morning if he would have been like, well, I was wrong about that shit. I heard this, yeah, this, and this. Yeah,
maybe they did get wrong information, because then you actually relieving yourself of responsibility by saying my sources.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a Stephen A. apologist, because I have a lot of issues with a lot of shit that he said. We played clips on this show before where I'm like, I don't know what the fuck Stephen A. be talking about sometimes. And I try to give him that wide berth of black people be disagreeing on shit sometimes, blah, blah, blah. I still think the death knell for me is him in that picture with Sheriff Clark. I just can't.
I didn't know that shit existed.
Yeah, I don't know when or where they met, but they took a picture together and you know, smiling for the camera, clearly together. And I'm sorry, man, but I can't respect that. I mean, that dude called Black Lives Matter a terrorist organization. That dude had 4 people killed in his jail under his watch and celebrated it. Like, the you know, dude had somebody arrested on a plane because they didn't like him. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I just can't see a situation where I run into this dude and be like, let's get a selfie together, you know. And I think part of that is also that pundit mentality, those people that do these TV shows where they talk politics on MSNBC and shit like it's a game. And no matter how reprehensible the Republican side of that shit is, at the end of the day, they all working and getting the same check, and they love to snap pictures together like, mm-hmm. Look, America. And I'm sorry, but not for me, dog. Nah. You know? So I just can't see that, you know. Yeah, someone said that's Ellen palling around with W. I think it's even worse. I think it's even worse, to be frank. Cause I think those talking head people say and do a lot worse shit. Like the people that go on Fox News and shit are worse fucking people. You know, it shouldn't be a pissing contest or whatever, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's not the office, the job. Those people are terrible people. They go on TV and they talk about that shit, and then you go kiki with them and dap it up. I just can't see it, man. It's just whack to me, you know. Especially if you're gonna, under the auspices of don't test my blackness. Like, well, nigga, we didn't take the picture with that dude. Like, you know, that's a bad look. Steve Harvey going to see Trump was a bad look.
It was.
As much as I go up for The Daily Show and Trevor Noah, him in that picture with Tommy Lawrence, bad look. It's a bad look. You know, like, these motherfuckers are not joking, or if they're just pretending, then they're saying things that are very dangerous. He also went on to say, back to the star, I asked the NFLPA source, since they are supposed to be working with the league, if the NFL had a responsibility to include the PA in the loop on something so high profile. They said responsibility is too strong. I said courtesy, and they said yes, better, no, we didn't get one. So they didn't even hit up the NFLPA about this. Number two, in fact, we didn't get a courtesy heads up then, and we still haven't received one. After Saturday's workout, Kaepernick agent Jeff Nally said, not one of the 32 teams asked for this. This came from the league office. So to date, the NFL contacted Kaepernick's team without consulting the NFLPA or its teams. The number of teams with confirmed attendance for the workout was not 8, but 7. San Francisco, Philly, Kansas City, Tennessee, Washington, New Jersey, and Detroit. So, yep. And like I said, it's one of those things where even if he were to get a job out of this process, I just don't know how, I don't think that's gonna change much for people.
And at the end of the day, I know for a lot of people it's contingent on him getting a job or not, but even if he does, most of them, they're not coming back. Right. Most people that are left are not coming back. The racist people ain't coming back. And the niggas that was mad he ain't got no job, they ain't coming back either. Let me tell you right. Why. Cause you fucked around and got free time. Oh my gosh, my Sundays are free now. I can do other shit. I don't have to, my Mondays are free. My Thursday nights is free. You know, a lot of them probably stopped doing fantasy football and shit like that. And once you get that free time and you start doing other shit, you're not going to want to give that back up. Possibly.
I think the difference would be if somehow Kaepernick had a nationally televised game or something, but since it's not like the NBA, and I don't think they would just flip something like that on the fly in the NFL, the TV schedule stuff, but that would be the only way I could see people being like, oh, I'm sitting down and watching this. Like, even people that said I quit the NFL, not forever,
but just for that game.
Right. Just to come back for that game. Oh yeah, and someone brought up in the chat, Trevor Noah, he wasn't posted up for a picture. He basically got snapped taking a picture. And I understood his argument. I mean, he really felt like her coming on the show and having the people at the Daily Show's audience threatening her online and all that shit was fucked up. And he wanted to be like, look guys, we can disagree without having to take it there. And I completely understand that sentiment. He's also, you know, quote unquote, new to America at that time and all that shit. I still think the idea of having her on your platform and then kind of coddling her in the aftermath, while very sweet, very nice, I think is also just bad optics. Like, it looks bad no matter what you say, because it's Tommy Lauren who called Black Lives Matter terrorists. It's not a way around that. No matter how good a person you are, it's gonna be a bad look, because you're not, it's like sitting with a person that advocates for Hitler and you sitting right there. You know what I mean? Like, hey guys, we don't have to say we will rape the person that advocates for Hitler. It's like, yeah, then don't have them on the show. And also, like, we know that's wrong. You're right. I don't know what percentage of people did that. You sitting and like consoling her to make it better or whatever doesn't necessarily change the fact that she's gonna go right back to what she does. You know, Candace Owens, you know, these people, I just don't see how people kick it with them like that. It's just, I mean, not my, you know, maybe if I got we had a TV show and someone was booking our guests and we didn't have a choice or something, I would understand, but right. It seemed like a lot of people be having control over this shit and they decide to do it anyway.
Agreed.
All right, news, guys, news, let's see what we can get into. Amanda Seals and Sean King got into it on Twitter over this movement for Rodney Reed, who's a black man who's on death row.
Okay.
And people think he's it's possible, there's a reasonable doubt that he did not commit the crime that he is on death row with the death penalty for.
Okay.
But then Amanda Seals supposedly, allegedly found out information that he's been accused of other crimes, sexual crimes towards women and stuff. Some of her information was wrong as well, where she was saying like he murdered another woman and all this other stuff. And then Sean King hopped in to correct her on Twitter. And so, you know, everybody was...
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
So people was having a rough time with this one,
right?
Because it's two motherfuckers that people don't really fuck with, and that oftentimes can be wrong and overzealous. I took a completely different message from it, but we'll get into that. So somebody for the Grio Road, lately it's felt like the whole country has come together in support of death row inmate Rodney Reed, who is currently serving time for the murder of 19-year-old Stacey Stites. Civil rights activist Sean King launched a petition on his behalf that garnered more than 2 million signatures, while celebrities like Oprah, Beyonce, and Kim Kardashian have all joined the chorus of those pleading to Governor Greg Abbott not to kill a man who they believe is innocent of the crime which he's been convicted. Initially, this seemed like a clear case of the justice system getting it wrong and then being called out by those committed to using their platforms to create awareness. So imagine my surprise Sunday evening while I scrolled through my Instagram feed to come across a lengthy video by Amanda Seales declaring that she was feeling remorse for supporting Reed and giving the side out of those in charge of his messaging. In an IGTV video called What I Wish I Knew Before Rallying for Rodney Reed, the actress writes in her caption, "In this era of ad water activism, it is very easy to fall for mass movements in directions of both cancellation and or exoneration. I apologize for my error in rushing to the aid of this cause without knowledge of the full scope. I will be more mindful in the future. Be wary, be watchful, be wise. These are unseemly times." Then in a 9-minute clip, which I won't be playing.
9 minutes, good God!
She calls out those leading the charge in Reed's case for lies of omission that paint a skewed picture of a man who is not the sympathetic character we've all been led to believe he was. The campaign to stay the execution of Rodney Reed and exonerate him was launched by supporters of Rodney Reed who believe him to be innocent of the murder of Stacey Stites, Seales begins. This, I'm going to call it propaganda though, was presented to people like you and me with a very decisive, clear-cut intention to not include the entire bigger picture of Rodney Reed as he presents as a criminal and a danger to women. Now this intro is important because it weaponizes two phrases that all advocates and activists respond to strongly, which are propaganda and danger to women. Once I heard those words, I sat up in attention and resolved myself to hear her out. It feels very duplicitous that those who were pushing for this, not just his family, but individuals who fancy themselves activists, were doing so while the knowledge that this person, Rodney Reed, is not just accused of, but has been linked to several to previous rapes via his DNA being discovered within the victim. He has been ID'd by a woman who escaped him, she continued. So you're asking yourselves, well, why wasn't he convicted of those? Well, three of the cases did not go to trial because he had already been convicted of capital punishment. So essentially he was already on death row, so they didn't bother to try these other cases. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I'm like, well, why does because he's on death row mean that other cases didn't deserve justice? That is another mystery for our justice system. Seales then goes on to the list how Reed has been accused of raping women in the past, one of which was a 12-year-old girl, and how what alarms her most is his supporters thought that this was not pertinent information and need to be included in their assertion to the masses that we should rally behind this person. These are not things that I feel like you can overlook. There are people who push this cause in front of people like you and me, and now I feel like a dick because I also carry this narrative through thinking that I had done research when really I had simply just been presented with very skewed propaganda. The video ends with her stating, "I wholly regret lending my name in the defense of this man's freedom from the death penalty and imploring people to be mindful about who they trust." What she got right? Now, I'm aware that Amanda Seales has suffered a fall from grace recently and is just barely coming out of public backlash in one piece. In a recent interview with her friends over at the Breakfast Club, she even touched on how emotionally taxing it's been to be condemned in the court of public opinion. But even if you don't care for her personally, we all have to admit she's an intelligent woman who seems to pride herself on being an advocate for black people. So for her, stick her neck out and go against the grain like this, I felt it at least warranted me looking into her allegations, since the caption of the video ended with links to everything I referenced on my IG story and available online. It was easy to go directly to the sources who had her so up in arms. The first video was a YouTube video, which I have to admit was a compelling opus against Reed and those who believe in his innocence. Like Seales recounted, he did in fact get accused of assaulting other women, including a minor, and watching one of his alleged victims speak about the day he tried to rape her and the similarities between her case and that of Stites felt very damning. by the end of the clip, and I, after checking the facts presented, I walked away thinking that I could see why Amanda Seals feels like this man may be a danger to women. But here's the thing, y'all, at the very least, there are often three sides to a story. Yours, theirs, and the objective truth. So instead of letting one 14-minute video convince me of a black man's guilt, I did what I fear Seals didn't do. I actually kept digging. All right. What she missed. Can you imagine if you were witnessing a high-stakes court case where the prosecution went up, presented their side, and then the jury was asked to come to a verdict without hearing what the defense had to say? Well, that's what it appears happened after Seals watched and read those pieces against Reed, because within just a half hour of seeing her side, I was able to quite easily come back and see why he still received and objectively deserved so much support in the specific case in which he was convicted. First off, let's start with the fact that the entire case against Reed is based on two things: the timeline provided by Stacey Stites' police officer boyfriend Jimmy Fennell, who a lot of people believe to be the actual killer, and the semen found on Stacey Stites that belonged to Reed. Now, Reed may be no Boy Scout, but to be clear, neither was Jimmy Fennell. What Fennell was, though, was a hothead policeman who in 2007 was convicted of kidnapping and sexual misconduct against a woman who was in his custody. From the jump, Fennell's actions alone paint a picture of a crooked cop who was emboldened to let another man get framed for a crime he may have committed. Yeah, we'll see about this. I'm not saying this is or is not true, but it's kind of that thing where it's like, it doesn't necessarily exonerate Reed, but people are saying, I think he did get a stay of execution for them to like 3 months or something to look into it. I can't remember the exact number of days, but I don't know. Anyway, first of all, does the timeline with the DA present does the timeline that the DA presents prove Fennell couldn't have done it? Well, that's been disputed by medical experts who say Stites was most likely killed 9 hours earlier than originally believed, meaning Fennell had ample time to kill his fiance, not to mention a witness came forward and said Fennell once told him that if he ever caught his girl cheating on him, he'd strangle her with a belt, which just happens to be what happened to the victim. Add to that other compelling evidence, like how, despite the fact that the couple's apartment was the last place she was seen alive, Fennell's law enforcement friends completely neglected to search the home for evidence. Speaking of law enforcement, it turns out that several other cops have had suspicions about Fennell's guilt as well. And this is the part where I encourage you all to take out your pens and look up every single name I bring up. First of all, Officer Joe Bryan, who wasn't officially on the Reed case, but had suspicions about the killer that led him to look into his own. Soon after his independent probe began, though, Bryan was randomly killed by a Mexican migrant worker. His wife, Marie Bryant, came forward to say that before her husband passed, he told her that his investigation led him to believe Fennell was the killer, and Maria said she wasn't surprised. Then there's Officer Ed Salmella, who was one of the first people at the scene of the crime. Just 4 months after he became involved with the case, he was found dead from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But here's a problem with that determination. So Mella was shot from his left hand, even though he's actually right-handed, which is hella suspicious given people attempted suicide almost always shoot themselves their dominant hand. However, his brother Scott Samella says, despite being right-handed, only shooting with his right hand, Ed often shook hands with his left hand, which means that someone who knew him in passing, like a fellow officer, was attempting to stage a suicide, they might mistake this handshake for an indication that, okay, this is a lot of conspiracy thought, you know what I mean? Like, and I think this is kind of what one of the reasons I've really found it hard to listen to, what was that show? It was a podcast, you guys know what I'm talking about, where
Serial.
Yes, Serial, where it was like everything, it's like we will examine every conspiracy that Adnan didn't do it, and we'll just kind of go poo-poo on all the evidence that he could have done it. We'll be like,
versus presenting all the
who
facts.
Doesn't write a letter that says I'll kill my girlfriend and
who put among it, us,
like, who hasn't done that? We all were 17 once, you know, like, where it's like, I'm not saying that he definitely did it, but y'all definitely want me to think he didn't do it. Like, and I understand how this product works,
and they also can have a man that did crimes in jail for shit that, you know, he did on top of this. Like, he could have did other shit and this too,
right? Scott also points out that Ed was a notorious neat freak, yet when they went to his apartment, it had been ransacked. His guns, computers, and hard drives were all gone. If someone was attempting to frame him for suicide and taking any incriminating evidence he had with them. And let's not forget the unidentified officer who on the day of Stites' funeral heard Fennell whisper to her dead body, "You got what you deserve." The unidentified officer, okay. Or the inmate who served time with Fennell during this kidnapping sentence, who says he flat out confessed the murder to him. a convicted crooked cop with a history of sexual misconduct, who people have heard verbally admit to the crime, who threatened his, to his girlfriend if she cheated on him. Sounds like enough reasonable doubt to warrant a new trial, fam. Especially when the black man who she allegedly was having an aforementioned affair with is now sitting on death row. What evidence do they have it was an affair, though? I wonder.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know, because if his semen was found on other people that claimed they were raped, and then semen was found on this woman, and then you go, well, they were just having consensual. I wonder what they got from that, like where that came from. That's like, it's just an affair. This video is a single mom. No. Okay. Well, we can all learn. I suspect what happened here is Amanda Seals found out Rodney Reed wasn't a saint and may have been guilty of sexual misconduct in his past, and then immediately lost all ability to root for his civil rights after that. What she had was an understandable emotional reaction, but emotions and facts are two very different things, and luckily for us, the system is supposed to acknowledge that. How many times has an unarmed black person been killed by police, and the first thing we do is read off the highlight reel of all their accomplishments? We state that they were class valedictorian, blah, 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 you know, I get it. Talk about respectability shit that people mm-hmm. that people do,
right?
Was Rodney Reed a potential serial offender in a former life? Possibly. That would be up to for a court to decide based on evidence. But if Dylan Roof can shoot up all those innocent people at Mother Emanuel and still get lunch at Burger King on his way to a fair trial, at the very least Rodney Reed deserved the same. I don't know about that, but okay. You know what I mean? Like, this thing where it's like white men get white privilege and often do not get any level of real justice and like real like consequences. I don't know that that's, while I don't think the system should be as vindictive as it is against black people and stuff, I don't know that the way we treat white people is the correct answer to this shit either.
Right.
Now, that's kind of a stretch, you know. Yeah. Dylan Roof's still on death row because he did it, so
right,
you know, they still ended up on the same place. A justice so, never that,
mm-hmm. you still reading? Go ahead.
No, did you want to say something? You wanted to just sum it up? All right, hold on, let me see how much more. A justice system that requires purity as a prerequisite for someone's humanity to be honored isn't just at all. Ironically, the counterpoints presented by Seals in her scathing video this weekend just made me even more aware of why messy cases like this one are exactly the ones we need to be examining in order to create the prison reform that we say we need. If you only root for a certain type of black person, you aren't rooting for freedom, you're perpetuating tokenism. All Rodney Reed's supporters are asking is for the brother to get a fair trial. Where all the evidence is presented, how can anyone deny the merit in that? That's not propaganda, it's supposed to be the law. Alright, Karen, that was it.
Oh, I about to say that was long for no reason.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's like, so this is a person's piece. Like, they just was just going and just finding stuff just like Amanda was. So this was their quote unquote counter argument to her point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like.
Well, I think this is what I was going to say. So, prison reform and prison abolition is actual tough work.
Yes.
And people that work in that industry for real, not just tweeting shit online.
Right.
But that really go and work with inmates that deal with reform in prison, who will deal, prison abolitionists even. There's a big contingent of them online who talk a good game. Because it's good theoretical exercise. They hop online, they can do purity policing, they can shame everybody that's against the idea, and they can call everyone vindictive and all this shit. But when you bring up certain stuff, they don't have an answer for it. So what they did in this case is a lot of them hid this dude's past because they don't have an answer for these questions. Well, if this guy's a serial predator of women, are you saying he just gets to go back on the street? That's it. Because we don't have a place to put him, and there is no penalty that you feel can justly encapsulate what should happen to a black man in this system. So does he just get to continue raping ad infinitum? Like, we just gotta sit back and let it happen, and this is just the cost of a better system where no one goes to jail? Like, what are your solutions to this shit?
What are your solutions?
and they don't like answering that question. The reason they don't really have to answer that question is because we're not ever going to get there.
Mm-mm.
You know,
not in my lifetime.
We're never going to get there. With the most incarcerated system in the world, is definitely a form of slavery. It's definitely targeted at black people. So they just ride out those notions. But the ugliness of these circumstances, they like to gloss over. It's why I make fun of that shit, because I'm not picking on the idea. I think I'm very close to prison abolition, prison reformist, like with my politics and my belief system. But I also recognize when somebody online is saying something stupid. And so I make jokes of the stupid shit. It's like when people used to be, they don't do it as much, but they used to, 2-3 years ago when it was Bernie Sanders, black people would start taking on these socialist ideals online, but it turned out to just be petty shit about people they don't like and shit. It wasn't actual socialism. It was purity Twitter shit where you get to shit on people, not try to spread some message or some word, and get to be like, I'm smarter than you. But it's not an actual, you're not actually trying to start a cause. You're not even starting organizations.
Right.
Like, you're just talking. You're not even trying to educate people on the shit.
Nope.
So with prison abolitionists, though, and death penalty abolitionists, they just don't believe in the death penalty for anybody. And what happens is, when these celebrities join in, these Twitter accounts join in, these social media people that have like followings join in, people are such fucking sheep. They go hashtag free Rodney Reed, exonerate this innocent black man, blah blah blah. They don't do no fucking research. They're not mm-hmm. reading a goddamn article. No. What his charges are, mm-mm. the trial, the case. They don't care. And if you present the other side, they just gonna, you coon ass sellout, or white propaganda or something. Like, we have the people are so polarized and divided now, and there's no nuance on social media.
No.
So you can just do the, like, all good or all bad. And if someone presents something to you as all good, motherfuckers just be like, cool, all good, right? That's the end of it. But let's talk about what social media is. You can't be a prison abolitionist. You can't be a death penalty abolitionist if you're like these niggas on Twitter who dig up old tweets from celebrities or someone they don't like from 7 years ago and demand that the motherfucker, like, be canceled or apologize or not support it or treat them as if they said the shit yesterday, or then don't believe any apologies. These people are not forgiving people.
Nope.
At their core, they give the social death penalty to everybody.
Everybody.
Any celebrity that's ever done any fucking thing they don't like, that you do not have a heart to forgive. You do not have a heart for justice. You don't have a heart to let people back into society.
Right, because the whole point is to let, and you know, because when you actually get down to it, a lot of people go, okay, you've been locked up and you serve your time. You need to be able to be integrated back into society.
I can make, and the thing is, this shit is ugly.
Right.
So like, perfect example. How many people mock Nicki Minaj for who she got married to?
Mm-hmm.
Because a fucking former criminal, right?
Right.
And reprehensible crimes. Same people talking about prison abolition, death penalty abolishment, ban the box, all this shit. That woman chose with her personal life to date this man who she feels either reformed or there's more to the story, blah blah blah. What she decided to do, that we don't control her vagina or her body or her decision making. People roast that woman on the fucking daily. Yes, now I'm not saying it's not escalated by her. We all know how she gets down,
right?
A lot of it's because of how she gets down too.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we don't root for former felons and shit unless we decide. There's certain crimes we decide are okay and certain ones that aren't. These are the realities that people don't want to confront. So when you say something like you're a prison abolitionist, you can't be a prison abolitionist part-time. You can't be like, okay, some criminal abolitionist. Like, either you believe it or you don't.
Kind of criminal
abolitionist. On Twitter. Right. On Twitter, either you believe it or you don't.
Right.
In real life, I know people who work in that field. They not telling you they're not selling you a pipe dream.
Right.
They'll tell you straight up, look, it's some people in this society, I don't know how we get them back in. We ain't there yet. And what I do hope for is more humane conditions in prisons where they gotta be. Like, that's real.
Some niggas just gonna be locked up, but at least you know it's gonna be better conditions.
Cause this theory online is real people's lives when you meet people face to face.
Right.
So that's real. You know, so for example, in this guy's case, he may be an actual rapist. People keep, well, he's no saint. Nigga, you're downplaying it. Any other time someone does anything to a woman, let it be the Me Too movement. You don't want that nigga to work again. You want him in jail. You want him under the jail. Let it be R. Kelly. We are not advocating for this nigga to be walking around free.
Mm-mm.
If you don't accept that duality, that reality, then you're not really about that work. So what happened is people discovered what was being hidden from them. Why were these things hidden from them? Because the people that started this shit were in the online space of social media where purity reigns. So they had to present to you a man that you mostly could not know shit about because that's the only way you would support it. If they said, hey guys, this guy who may be a serial rapist is on death row for a crime that we're not sure he got a fair trial for, we just would like to see him get a fair trial, people would have said, I'm not fucking helping you, he's a rapist.
And that's as far as it's gonna go for most people.
The same people who claim, why we always got to say this black man was in church, and why we got to say this black man got straight A's when the cops killed him, it shouldn't matter. It does matter. It matters to you, actually. It matters to you. Because most people are never reaching that plane of consciousness where you really don't give a fuck about the extenuated circumstances. You say, it's about the principle of this shit. Most of us are never getting there. Mm-mm. Most of us are going to be like, nope, that shit's a little too heinous for your boy, dog. Good luck with your trial. That's where most people are going to get. You know, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying it's just a hypocrisy that exists in everybody. Just
everybody.
About. You know? And that's why I try not to advocate for shit that I know I can't support. So I don't say shit like I'm against the death penalty because Dylan Roof exists, and if they fry his ass, I'm gonna be like, good. Why would I lie to you like that? At least you know I'm honest.
That's true.
These other niggas will lie to you. You know, when I see Amber Geiger gets 10 years, I'm like, huh. That's not that much time for killing a black person just chilling in their fucking house.
Mm-mm.
That's really not that much time. So can I really be like, well, you know, I'm for prison reform. I'm for prison reform for certain motherfuckers, to be frank. Certain kind of crimes. And the sad part is, if you truly want to be about prison abolition, and you, most people have been sold, and this is because it's the most palpable, feasible, and the one that people find the most acceptable, they've been sold this kind of non-violent drug offenders. How many times you heard that? Non-violent mm-hmm. offenders. If we could free the non-violent offenders, they should be able to be back on the streets. They're non-violent offenders. Number one, do you know how many people are non-violent offenders, but also you have to kind of be violent when you're in prison? You have to kind of be violent in some of these situations where you're selling drugs. You have to kind of be violent because of what the other non-violent offense is. So, yeah, I sold drugs and I had a gun on me. Guess what that counts as? Yeah, that's a violent offense. I didn't have to kill nobody. I didn't have to shoot the gun. Having the gun can be considered a violent offense. Another thing is, if we freed all the non-violent offenders, it would be a drop in the fucking bucket. That is not representative of even close to the majority of people in prison. So while we've been sold that because it's all our fucking puritanical minds can take. That's not actually, that's not going to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. It won't abolish prisons either.
Oh no.
So we have cases that we feel this way about. We have people that we feel this way about. Many of us feel differently about Centoya Brown than we feel about Amber Geiger.
Agreed.
Like these things are circumstantial, situational. And I think celebrities and social justice activists on Twitter and shit saying the right hashtag gets a lot of people to go, oh, I'll just retweet that.
Right.
Oh, so-and-so circulates a petition, I'll sign that. No problem. But that is not really their politics. They're signing it because of the social part of social media, to be part of the crowd. But, and you know it's not their politics, because the second you found out this dude was a rapist, you was like, no.
My bad. I didn't know what I was dipping my toe into.
Right. Don't research just the topic. Research yourself. Because either you're against the death penalty like that, or you're not really against it like that. You know? Like, if you say I'm a death penalty abolitionist, a prison abolitionist, you're either that or you're not. You can't be that sometimes. That's just how it goes. So stop calling yourself shit you're not doing. You just doing it because it's the wave. The same way every account was a fucking socialist 3 years ago, and now Bernie's not in the lead no more. It's like, I mean, socialism is cool. But,
it's okay. It's all know, right.
You know, but I'm not looking online to argue with niggas about socialism anymore. Like, that's not the wave no more. You know, it's not social media anymore. So, yeah, man, I just thought that was a very... That conversation encapsulated a lot of stuff about social media and prison reform and social justice and shit, and how it's a lot of it's just a function of click, retweet, like, favorite.
Oh yeah,
sign this petition.
Like you said, that's the social part of social media, and once you wrap your mind around that, you can almost predict trends. You can almost, like, when something happens, you can almost predict the cycle of what's going to happen and who's going to be on what side. Like, once you understand that concept, it makes social media so much easier to navigate.
And then locking up our own, man, one of the things you got to realize, Black people are the hardest on Black people in the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Like, we like to outsource that to whiteness and white supremacy, mm-hmm. and the white justice. And I'm not saying white supremacy and all this shit don't have nothing to do with it, but I'm just saying, we like to outsource that as if we just somehow innocent victims of this. We are also conditioned and believe in less forgiveness for each other.
Yeah, we've also bought into the system too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people go, fuck the police, but goddamn, my house getting broken into, who I'm calling? The motherfucking police.
Locking up our own looks at Washington, D.C. Black ass city, chocolate city, with Black people at every major decision making level.
Yeah.
of the local populace.
Yeah, somebody talking about Black people conservative as hell. Yeah, Black people are very conservative. Yeah.
It's us too.
Totality, yes.
It's us too. You know. So, and then when you throw in the way the gender works on social media and the way people are so divided, dog. You know, as soon as you find out crimes against women, it's back to Black men are trash for this dude. Cause is over. You know, I remember when it was Alton Sterling.
Grand opening, grand closing.
He had a statutory rape in his past. It was like, take his ass off this t-shirt, I ain't marching. You know, like, the shit is more complicated than that. And I don't really begrudge Amanda Seals for this.
Mm-mm.
You know? Cause maybe this ain't her passion, this ain't her lane. Maybe she shouldn't have been over there, and that's the lesson she learned today was, I don't really feel all these fluffy feelings about getting this dude out when I realize this other things he's done.
And that's understandable.
That's realer than most of these motherfuckers being. They just went quiet on the shit. They feel exactly like she do, but they just stopped talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Tweeted through it. Somebody calling them out about it right now, and they do block, mute, and keeping it trucking.
Sadly, man, when I saw this shit being talked about, I honestly said, that's not gonna end well, and just stopped. This was over a week or two ago. I was like, nah, that's not gonna end well, because these niggas are not who they say they are. They are not about that life. They're not gonna say, and when you go, well, there's some other crimes he may have done. They're not gonna just go, and I said I'm against the death penalty, nigga. I'm not saying he's a blah, blah, blah. Most of them are gonna be like, oh, wait, what? Like, most of these niggas mad at Lizzo over that fucking tweet about, Uber Eats. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, these are petty people. Petty people are not good at that type of consistency. The whims move too fast. Speaking of death penalty, man, I still remember this
it's
bit.
Too much crime, though. One of them really have all this crime because they got no death penalty. What they say about California? Say, Well, one of the reasons we don't have any death penalty because we can't find anybody to pull a switch.
Shit.
It just ain't actually the right motherfucker, because I'll pull it. I wouldn't even take no lunch out. Two motherfuckers at a time. Gotta go. Put your big ass on them, serious. Well, everything deaf. Nigga run a stoplight, deaf. I ain't gonna do it no more. I know. You ain't gonna do it no more. Gotta go. I'm serious about that, man. It'd be just like Pakistan. So fuck, you know how to do it in Pakistan? You still have something to do. Cut off your hand, don't they? Judge don't want to hear shit. Just show him the hand you stole it with. You gotta be going, hey, be giving five. How you doing, home? Yeah, caught you last week. Okay. Caught me last week. Chop my shit off. I can't even hold my dick, man. Gotta go. Shit. It's fucked up, some of these laws. Somebody can steal your car and get out of jail before you get another one. Fucked up. Your ass be at the bus stop. This motherfucker ride. Where you going? In my car. I know y'all read in the paper where this man broke in these people's house and fell asleep in it. Talking about he tired. I done woke his ass up with a 38. Get your ass up. Gotta go. You too lenient with him, man. I don't hear nothing, man. Fuck him. I don't hear it. Go. Serious. Just fuck him. Public hangings. What was it be out there? What your uncle doing up there? Oh, he's trying to steal something. I guess he's hanging around. Fucked up, man. I wouldn't give him no, you know, death penalty. Straight electricity. Oh, I wouldn't give him no gas. They be trying to hold their breath. No more. Oh, man, yeah. They give us gas. We just hold our breath. Me and them. Straight electricity. I'm serious, man. Get set up. Come on, sit down. God. That is that fucking lethal injection. That's lethal injection, motherfucker. They be strapped down knowing. Man, if I was president, I'd give all the police a silencer. Put on the gun.
Oh, no.
Walk around. Yeah. Crip here. All right. This fucker. Yo. Yeah. Gotta go. We don't die, we multiply. Shit. No funeral, there's a big asshole dump they monk ass in. I looked at the paper the other day, man, hungry, robbed Winchell's donut shop. Got away with 6 jelly glazed donuts. Talk about, holy come in there and said, what happened? We got robbed. Oh, bitch, I know you got robbed. What'd it take? 6 jelly glazed donuts. Holy said, like them there? Yeah. Give me 6 of them. Oh, man, fuck up. Man. And all law enforcement ought to have a damn gun. Ought to have a gun. Went to one mall, I saw a damn a security guard with house shoes on. Flashlight and house shoes. What the fuck he gonna do? I can see him arresting some Crips now. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. You know I see you. Come on.
Oh man, rest in peace with Robert Harris, but.
Right.
Yeah, man, but black people not necessarily as woke on this death penalty shit as people think, man.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's kind of that Twitter shit. But, whew. Oh man, that was my man. What else happened? Jada Pinkett Smith says T.I. gonna be on the Red Table Talk.
She know how to get him, don't she?
That woman can book a guest. No wonder he ain't said shit. He been over there being quiet. Trying to get on there. I saw people on Twitter being like shitting on this, but Red Table Talk a good show. I don't care what they say.
And you know what, it really is. I just wish they would make it a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that show, so I want to see it, because they'll confront him and they won't do it in Twitter fashion of screaming over him. Other people say, well, I wish we had a table of prominent men that could hold them accountable, and I, because women need to not do this work, and I agree. except that table don't exist. So where the fuck are you gonna get these prominent woke men that can sit T.I. down and school him on misogyny? Where do these niggas live? Where do they exist? Point me in the right direction, because I don't know what black men are doing that type of work within blackness and checking each other. It don't really seem like it's a lot of people of prominent stature, that especially black men, that have any fucking like feminist or womanist leanings or wherewithal to even appreciate that kind of shit. Like, black men for the most part spend time arguing with feminists and shit. Like, ain't exactly, like, I can't think of one. D.L. Hughley ain't doing it. Charlamagne and them ain't doing it. Joe Budden ain't doing it. Like, who can check T.I. like that? That's not happening. So whoever's gonna be inclined to check him on that and have at least a background where they can check him on that is gonna probably be a woman. I can't even think of, I wish I could think of some dude, but those motherfuckers patting themselves on the back about it, or they'd just be like, it's whack and leave it at that. But you know, people that he would respect within the industry, I don't see that happening. Mm-mm. Like Jada Pinkett Smith, a name. The Red Table is a name,
right?
You know, so I don't know that there's black men that even fucking discuss shit like this in that type of way. And I don't think there's a lot of want for black men to do that kind of shit. And also, that's a very tight rope for a lot of black men to walk, because you're gonna have the eyes of a lot of black women on you that are gonna disagree and be pretty passionate about it.
Right, because so, you're talking about shit that women have experienced and you have not experienced.
Right. So, you know, maybe Jada and her, you know, and her daughter and her mom, maybe that's a great place for him to sit down. And one of the things I liked about it is, I'm sure they will bring him up on it. I'm sure they'll confront him on it, but it doesn't have to become a yelling contest. It doesn't have to become them trying to admonish him for Twitter likes, which is how people on Twitter like shit. Cause people on Twitter are always like, no, don't bring him on. Don't give him no more. Da 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 da. And it's like, y'all don't understand. He's not learning a lesson, and y'all don't want him to learn a lesson because y'all want to stay in the same place so you can keep bloviating. If their goal is to educate not just him, but a whole bunch of other people through him,
right?
You're gonna have to confront that ignorance to his face in that way. You know, like, that's something that their platform is very good at. As far as bringing people up there, talking about their issues, and making them feel heard and seen, but also being like, well, let's push back a little bit on this. It won't be the confrontational shit that people want to see on Twitter, so hey, don't watch it then.
Right, it ain't gonna be no bloodbath, no fight, you know. That's not what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I'm actually low-key kind of glad that he didn't do the opposite, which is go on a press tour of Breakfast Club, Joe Budden podcast and stuff, where it would have been a whole lot of people laughing and agreeing and high-fiving, or at least being like, you crazy, dog, but for the most part, not really checking him on it.
Right.
Like, because he could have done that. You know, he could be talking to Killer Mike right now or somebody. Ain't nobody gonna stop him. He's still T.I. Like, he's somebody. A lot of these people gonna be scared. Even if they did disagree, they'd be a little bit scared to say something about it. So... Anyway, good luck. I will be tuning in, and I hope it's good, you know. And it is funny how people turn on that shit so fast. Oh God. It's so funny, cause I remember when it was, thank God for the Red Table and interviewing Jordan, the girl from the Kardashian scandal.
Yep.
Thank God for black women supporting each other, and then the second day, take a risk or do something what a terrible idea. Like, they do a lot of good work on there. Especially with Willow, being there at the table. I love that. It
makes a big difference.
When they talk about like sex and they talk about relationships and stuff, I love that Willow's there for that shit. Cause people don't really think about the kids and the younger generation needing to be in the room. Cause these things are happening. Motherfuckers watch Euphoria and go, man, it's wild what these kids out here doing. And then be like, why they let Willow in on the conversation? Cause these kids are already doing this shit. You either have your kid talking to you about these things, talking with you about these things, they talking to somebody else.
Right, because if they ain't talking to you, they talking to somebody.
I love them. They do great work. Ari Lennox branded entitled by fans after she complains about losing the Soul Train Award to Lizzo. Ari Lennox took to Twitter at the Soul Train Awards on November 17th to express her disappointment about her album Shea Butter Baby losing the Album of the Year Award and clap back at critics.
I don't know who this is.
She's a black woman singer. I'm not a huge fan of hers, and I'm not saying that in the shady way of,
right.
I'm not a fan.
I've never heard of music.
When I'm saying I don't like somebody, no, I just haven't really sat down and listened to it, yet. But, yeah, she got, she got a good following on black people Twitter, you know?
Yeah, cause there's a lot of people that did somebody, and I'm like, who? Because you know me.
You know, Lizzo, people are saying she's more pop than soul, and so she shouldn't be winning an award at the Soul Train Awards, which is weird because Soul Train Award doesn't reward just soul music.
Mm-mm.
It's just called the Soul Train Awards. It's not really for soul music. But it was nominated for the prestigious honor alongside big names like Lizzo, Chris Brown, Khalid, Ella May, and her. But when Lizzo's album Cause I Love You ultimately won the trophy, she made it known that she felt snubbed. It was not just an award. It wasn't any award show. It was a Soul Train Awards. As you can see, I'm a big fan of soul music and huge fan of Soul Train's history. One of Ari's many tweets read, being snubbed was something I always expected and was definitely prepared for, just not by them. My intent was to never shade other nominees. I'm hurt and I don't expect soulless haters to understand that. Every time I wrap my mind around it, I just can't accept it. Feels like a breakup. I made a soulful album. I never ran from who I am. I just expected that one platform to understand that. Her tweets were posted and got the attention of many Twitter users. It didn't take long for them to start calling her out for complaining. Ari Lennox is being entitled. You felt you earned an award and it went to someone else. Look at how many artists who've been in the game 20 plus years and never received certain awards. Brian McKnight holds a record for most Grammy nominations ever without a single win. Ari Lennox got her first real taste of mainstream relevance and now she believes she deserves all the recognition in the world. Y'all caused this when y'all made all her Instagram live stories go viral. Now she feels entitled, read another. Ari was quick to respond to critics with an explanation why she felt the way she did. Dear fake fans, please unfollow. I'm not entitled, I'm hurt. There's deeper things I would love to say, but I just can't. It's not entitlement, it's blatant disrespect. Ari also seemed to indicate that she felt her loss to the award because she's not cool enough. It's clear I'm not cool enough, not trendy enough, and I don't care to be. I don't strive for that. I'm not going to chase this shit ever again. No more fake shit on my part. Another one of her tweets raised. In addition to critics responding to her tweets, supporters shared tweets from the artist. You are genuine. That's what people need. You make necessary music with this world in the state it's in. You allow people to escape. One follower responded. Ari Lennox definitely should have won Album of the Year over Lizzo. Lizzo got the one song. Ari has consecutive hit after hit. That's not true as far as Lizzo only having the one song. Lizzo album was on the charts. Like, her songs was all on the charts, too.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzo has yet to respond to Ari's disappointment about her loss, but we'll be on the lookout, da-da-da. Yeah. All I know is Lizzo is kind of a sensitive person online as well. Ari seemed like she had a very sensitive moment and shared a bunch of shit that she probably should have not shared with the world, because Twitter is not your friends.
Mm-mm. Like, and when once you share it, people have the right to voice their opinion about it.
It's a tough fucking lesson, but like, that should be a text, that should be group me, the whatever, like a DM, but you can't share shit like that with no consequences. That's like at 28 or whatever, it is what it is, dog. Like, now you gotta get fried for it. What I thought was interesting were the people that attacked Lizzo out of all this, because I thought it when the Uber Eats thing happened, but I wasn't 100% sure what it was. But now that they did it over this, where Lizzo really was minding her fucking business and didn't say shit bad about nobody, and they still was coming for her neck and calling her music for white people and shit. Yeah, somehow black people invented pop and rock and roll, but if you win an award in those lanes, you do shit for white people. Okay.
Right, because it wasn't your fave. All of a sudden, yeah, white people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, and to be fair, I used to feel, and I actually came on this show and actually apologized about it. Not, I don't even know too, but just talked about how ridiculous I was. But I definitely used to feel that way about rock music. And I did more research and shit and was like, wait, we invented that shit. Why do I think that's white people shit? That's me giving up space that I don't have to give up. That's me giving up ground for something that is black and calling it white, giving them credit for some shit. Same way, thing with jazz. You know, oh, that's white people music. What? How? That's ignorance on my part, taking it out on some other people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where a lot of people are, where they're being ignorant right now. But I thought that the reaction to Lizzo's Uber Eats thing was a bit over the top when it happened, where it's like, yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah, she apologized. She shouldn't have did that. Blah, blah, blah. But there was this kind of like vitriol that came at her where I was like, damn, I thought y'all liked her. You know, hey, she's body positivity. She's twerking with the, she's got a flute. She's talented. She can sing.
You can only go but so high, baby.
All these motherfuckers are propped up for the fall. By,
yeah, you can only go but so high. You get too high, or you quote them, or we feel like the white gaze is on you, or we feel like you're getting too many looks. Whatever it is, we've made up our minds, and then it's no whole bars. We can talk about you being fat. We can talk. We gonna call you out about quote unquote all these things that we've had a problem with you all along, but we didn't want to quote unquote go against the trend.
Yeah, so it seemed like Ari Lennox had a fucked up moment in public, shitting on another black woman, and people fell into place arguing about the fucking arguing about which black woman was better, rather than just being like, you know, and it is what it is. Like, that most people are not gonna be able to look at that and be like, hey dog, she just clearly having a moment and need to like take that shit offline. You know, that's what you need friends. That's why you need
that's
friends.
That's why you need friends.
You know, somebody said, what did she say about Lizzo? But it was all subtweet shit. I just read all the tweets. She didn't directly at Lizzo, but Lizzo won the award. So, she's basically saying like Lizzo should not have won that award, and that it's because Lizzo is more quote unquote cool than her. So that's not basically saying it's not about her talent or her music or her ability and shit like that. So
wow.
I don't know how anyone that won the award could read that and take it as not an insult to them.
Not a slight or anything like that. Like I said, I've never heard the other woman's music, but it don't mean she work hard. And Lizzo has a gorgeous voice. Like, not so funny, I did not realize Lizzo could sing until I heard her most recent album. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this bitch could sing.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, I saw people, some of the people I saw, I really don't know what they were thinking, but I saw people being like, it's just the Soul Train Awards. Hey man, I'm actually happy that black people care about a black award show.
Agreed.
That's dope, and I hope it continues.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, to see people try to like downplay that shit, I don't know about that. And for the album of the year, it's not always soul.
No,
I have the history for people that think it should be a go to soul album. 1997, Tupac, All Eyes on Me.
That's definitely not soul. That's hip hop.
Right. Rap. 1998, Erykah Badu, Baduism, which is neo soul. Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation in 1999, which is soul and rap, and pop. Shit. A lot of genres. R. Kelly, Aura. That's highly soul. Dr. Dre, 2001. Definitely not soul. Jay Z, The Blueprint, 2002. Definitely not soul. Nellyville.
You know that's not soul.
Outkast, Speaker Box, Love Below. Beyonce, I Am Sasha Fierce. Usher, Raymond versus Raymond. Chris Brown, Fame. That's a pop album. Frank Ocean, Channel Orange. Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City. You get the point. It's not a soul award for album of the year. So, you know, I'm sad that she didn't get the thing that she wanted. You know, you go back, you work harder.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing. You know, it can be disappointing, you know, when you're up for awards and you lose like that. That's a real thing, a real feeling.
Right. So, you know, hopefully it works out for her in the future. Speaking of which, speaking of Lizzo, she is being officially sued by that Postmate delivery person.
I can tell by the language of that woman talking.
I remember when we covered that story, and
her language was, oh, somebody got a hold of me and I got the words.
She was out there like, I just don't know, my emotional distress is causing me to miss time from work. And I said, oh, this woman gonna sue. Mm-hmm. I said, this woman's about to get
getting her duckies in a row.
People was like, Lizzo should reach out privately and apologize. I'm like, you mean privately and admit complicity? Because that's what happens when people got lawyers. All of a sudden, you trying to make amends. They like, and see, she offered $100,000, which means she definitely worth $1 million. We suing this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So I saw that shit, was like, this will come to pass.
You're right. That's why when people get lawyers involved, people are like, there's no reason to talk down. Talk lawyers speaking.
Yep. She said she really, and remember she was talking about feeling like her life was in danger. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to, okay, I am trying to downplay it. I don't believe people are going to kill her off of that tweet. I don't believe it. I don't know that she believes it. What I do know is if I was suing Lizzo, I would say it. I mean,
you put my face on Front Street, so it's a problem.
Yeah, I would say it because I want to get paid. So yes, I was scared for my life because you know how Lizzo fans be out here killing people left and right. Like, come on, man. If I'm suing, I thought them niggas was gonna kill me. Okay, I'm afraid to come out the house
every second.
I don't do nothing but stay in the house with the lights off, y'all. Okay, now go on, get out of here.
Keep the room dark. It's traumatizing. That okay. Good.
So it is what it is. And Ja Rule is officially cleared of the lawsuit over the Fyre Fest. A scamming never dies.
Never, never, never.
A child was spotted working in the kitchen of an understaffed pot pies in Texas.
Took they baby to work and be like, boy, bring your ass back here.
Take your children to work. Day is coming earlier and earlier every year. Yeah, isn't
ain't it though? Instead of having them just sit in the lobby and doodle.
Damn. That's a lot of pressure. Of all the places for a child to be learning how to damn.
Right, you're there with.
You don't want it to be a Popeyes with the chicken sandwich.
All in grease and shit frying.
Yeah, while, I thought I had the article. There was a picture of the child. Someone took a picture of it on their phone and they blurred her face out. But the part that sent me, and I know you shouldn't be laughing at this because it's terrible abuse, but y'all, the baby had an apron on.
Oh, they put that baby to work. Yeah,
they put that baby to work.
Somebody was like, I'm tired of you sitting up here doing nothing, come back here and get busy. Get to busy.
Like, they put that child to actual work.
That baby had got on somebody's goddamn nerves. They're like, look, you think this is a motherfucking game? Bring your ass back and get to work, boy.
I thought the kid was going to be like just handing somebody a piece of chicken. Mm-mm. No, kid was back there on the grill, giving raw chicken to a male staff member who went on to cook it. And he was part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the person that took the picture. Because you know my next question is, did you then sit around and wait for your chicken sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to them. Because you know what everybody else did? Looked at that baby and go, yeah, I want 5 chicken sandwiches. Okay. I came for the 2-piece box. Everybody else ignored the fuck out of that child. Because I believe you me, they ain't the only one that seen that child.
But I just want to know if they saw the child, took the picture, but then still stood in line for their chicken sandwich. That's the question.
Yeah, they're the only one took a picture. But
I know they're the only one that took a picture, Karen. I'm not saying, I feel like everyone was new and was waiting on chicken sandwich. I'm not sure it makes you a better person that you took a picture mm-hmm. and still was like, yes, would like 2 spicy chicken sandwiches.
Yes, they waited. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they waited on that. The sandwich taking a little long, Junior. That's why they really took the picture.
Junior!
That's why he took the picture in the first place.
Like, this is why my son's taking too goddamn long. Got that baby back there.
Right. You need to hurry up on that grill, little boy, and get you the sandwich. I'm tired of this shit, okay?
Them short ass arms.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
They probably couldn't even stand above the fryer.
Right. Mommy, when can we go home? Never, nigga, have me some more chicken. Oh, get on my damn nerves.
I gotta do this for free. Yes, for free.
This is what happens when your parents don't whoop you. They make you go to work and do chicken instead.
They make you work.
You gonna, now see, this is what's gonna happen. You keep getting them D's. Okay, you gonna be in here with me doing chicken every day.
For the rest of your life.
Is that what you want, Jerome? Mm-mm. Hand me another breast.
That will change my life forever too. Mama, I'm going to college! Mama, I never flunk again!
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles make us feel fucked with. The wheel sign point scores from 0 to 100. Intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Story number one for fucking with black people. Michael Bloomberg pushed stop and frisk policing, and now he is apologizing. Ahead of a potential Democratic presidential run, former Mayor Michael R. Bloomberg of New York.
Well, he has negative percent of black folks. Okay.
Negative percent of black folks? Black votes. Oh, yeah. Votes. Yes.
Black
yes.
folks voting. Yeah, black folks. People look like,
you know, I don't understand New York. Because New York is supposedly like this really quote unquote liberal place, according to all the angry Republicans. But like, they got some, like, Rudy Giuliani, this nigga, like, they got some whack niggas that they have voted for that are clearly overtly racist and shit.
Yeah, the mayor is so racist, he made a rule that he can have a third term and then turn around and was like, I'ma make it so can't nobody else ever do this again. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, they voted for like, what's that nigga, Bill de Blasio, but they hate him now. Like, I don't understand how these niggas keep winning. What are the rules in New York right now?
I don't know.
Is it like, because I hate to slander the New York contingent of black folks again, but are they just weaker than us down here? Is that what's happening? Are they just letting Fat Joe say nigga and then it extrapolates to letting these stop and frisk ass niggas be in charge? Like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. How are they doing this to our people up there? Mm-mm. Hold the line.
Mm-mm. You know why? Because they're doing the same shit to them up there that they're doing to us down here, suppressing the vote.
They getting their vote suppressed. They must be.
Yes.
I'm going to go. You know what, Karen? I'm going to go with that because yes, I refuse to believe.
They're closing polls left and right and shit. Yes.
I've never met a black person that liked this dude.
Mm-hmm. They was like, we going to be sure niggas don't vote.
De Blasio got a black son with an afro and nobody likes him. Like, I'm just not sure what's happening up there, did these motherfuckers somehow keep winning? Anyway, so this one is running for president now, and he's defended stop and frisk for years after being out of office. But in front of an audience, he declared during the speech, I was wrong and I am sorry for his stop and frisk policy. Come on, Mike. Come cut a rug with us. Get your billionaire ass. Have a seat over here next to Jay-Z and Beyonce and Oprah. You know how to play spades.
You know
we're gonna teach
you
today. Or you just like calling us spades. We're gonna put you in charge of security. We don't want nobody getting in with no guns, so I just need you to stop and frisk. That was a test. All right, put the cops away. Woo! Hey, all you gotta say is you sorry and you welcome to the cookout.
No, you get a to-go plate.
What? Why?
No, you stand on the outside and smell the fresh fried fish.
Oh, I see what this is. Karen, this happens all the time. Karen wasn't listening earlier. I'll repeat it. He said, I was wrong and I am sorry. sorry guys, she sometimes Karen just gets carried away because she doesn't listen to it. So
no, I heard
hey,
the first time.
He wrong. He sorry.
I don't care.
Come on down and
I
to
don't
the
care.
Flow.
Am I going to be the one person outside the cookout protesting?
What hop this time?
Nope.
Woo. Not going to teach you how to electric slide?
Nope.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Tough crowd. Yeah, he is the first speech since he reemerged as a possible presidential candidate, hopping in late, but still. Did the Democrats know that when one of them drops out, you don't have to replace them with two like a fucking head of the Hydra?
Right. It's like people, we want this group, we want to get smaller, because I'm to the point, and that's not funny, I don't give a fuck until we narrow this. It's too many. It's like a fucking clown car. Narrow it down. Get it to the good four people. Then you got my attention. I don't care to then.
Yeah, I heard they still be doing Stop and Frisk, but just not officially no more.
Come on.
That's what I heard.
Yes, why would they give it up?
He also said that black people was the reason he did Stop and Frisk, to support us. this nigga running as a Democrat.
No.
He's like, black people love Stop and Frisk.
No. No, that's why I'll be protesting at the cookout.
Of course, it
heavily, your play, you can get no aluminum foil.
It heavily targeted black and brown young men. This is what's funny to me is this is the kind of shit that people accused Hillary Clinton of doing, where Hillary Clinton had fucking abandoned and apologized for comments years before running for office, and people still was like, look at this pandering. This nigga actually is legitimately slap in your face pandering. Like, the day before this, I was up here like, Stop and Frisk is good, black people love it, it worked, fuck every study, fuck all the results, fuck all the lives I ruined.
He think he about to win.
I don't know what he's doing.
Pulling that -2%, talking about I'm gonna win. You can get the fuck out of here.
You know what I think is happening? Elizabeth Warren keep talking about taxing these billionaires. Mm-hmm. And the billionaires are turning into motherfucking Thanos, like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. I know he didn't say fuck it, but y'all know what I mean.
But yeah,
it's like, I'll do it myself, and putting on a billionaire glove and be like, I'll just run for office. I mean, I don't know. And maybe it's, and the other thing is, and I said this shit in 2016, Donald Trump successfully lowered the qualifications to be a candidate.
Yes, because now any dumbass anywhere be like, I can run.
And that's why I was like, y'all are afraid Oprah's gonna run, because y'all think Oprah lost her mind suddenly, because he lowered the qualifications to rich, famous, why not run? You got name recognition, why not run? Just fuck it. Fuck if you can do the job, actually. Just run. And that's why we have so many Democratic candidates now, because everybody that got like three friends on Twitter feel like they can run the shit. Like, oh, you know what? I have 12 followers. Think I'm ready to run for president.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, until Sunday, he has steadfastly, and his critics say stubbornly, defended Stop and Frisk, mocking only a few months ago the very notion of undertaking an apology tour for his broader record. He stood behind the program, which gave New York police officers sweeping authority to stop and search anyone suspected of a crime, even after a federal judge ruled in 2013 that it violates constitutional rights of minorities. Though he has now distanced himself, the policing approach that has another prominent champion, President Trump, who called for it to be used nationwide in 2016 and praised the tactics again last year. Nope, I don't think that's not coming. Two sides of the same coin. But I can't imagine what his poll numbers are. They can't be high.
Nope, he can kiss my ass.
I don't know how this nigga won election in New York. I don't know. Somebody gonna write and explain that, I'm sure. Shit, probably several of you niggas, because y'all in New York, and I made that joke.
Voter suppression?
It's gotta be something.
Yeah, like that played a big,
it's not,
big part.
And by the way, it's not just him.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's a lot of motherfuckers that don't like Giuliani, and now they don't like de Blasio, so how they keep winning, I wonder, because they don't like them motherfuckers. I don't know. Anyway, good luck. 0 to 100.
Oh, he get 100, because as soon as he lose, he gonna be back to frisking.
Yeah, I say Dracarys for him. Fuck him. That's such blatant pandering,
right? And you have act like we too dumb to know what the fuck you doing.
Like, you didn't even try.
Didn't even that, try, nigga.
Like, months ago, you was like, just months ago? Come on, man. Judge Joe Brown is in the news. He is not here for Harriet Tubman's $20 bill because he says putting a black woman on the front of U.S. currency before a black man gets that honor is an insult to the black race. Oh, Judge Joe Brown. Oh, Judge.
For real, is this not an Onion article?
He Are you smoking that. Crack, Judge?
He would have said that.
I mean, the shocking comments were made during a recent interview he did with
The Breakfast Club.
Dr. Umar Johnson.
Oh no!
Round one. Fight.
I got a question for you, Judge, if I could. Yes, sir.
Why is your audio so bad?
Because I would hate for any listeners, and particularly feminists, to misinterpret your comments earlier on Queen Mother
Harriet
Tubman.
I don't give a goddamn about feminists. They can go straight to hell, and I know they hate themselves because they got two X chromosomes instead of an XY. They are...
Is this an impression of Judge Joe Brown, or is this really him?
I hope this not real.
Judge Joe Brown, a hotel?
I hope this not real.
No! No! Judge Joe Brown is a hotel? I had no idea.
Are they for real?
I think it's really him, Karen. I don't think Umar Johnson is known for his comedy skits. Is this fake?
Self-hating, and they're sick.
Well, I also wanted to clarify for me as well, Judge. Because I know you had mentioned Thurgood Marshall, Dr. King, Frederick Douglass. And I just wanted to clarify with you that your comments were not suggestive of saying that by doing a Harriet Tubman movie that somehow undermined the works of those great male leaders, because that's what it kind of sounded
like. No, it
doesn't.
But the objective is, I've heard it from the Hollywood sources I have, these feminists are trying to do this movie so they can get a black woman put on a $20 bill.
That's not a true statement.
Okay. Oh, you crazy.
I am.
This can't be real. This can't be real.
It don't sound.
This has to be fake.
This sound like he was doing this on Blogspot.
It was on Spreaker.com.
You're close enough.
Which we all, that's a platform I would never use. I'm going to the YouTube where the video was posted. Maybe the comments will say it's a joke. Please be a joke.
I'm hoping it is.
What is Judge Joe Brown doing? Street Fighter heated debate. Snippet part 1 or 2. True audiences only by Valerie Denise Jones. The comments do not seem to think it's a joke. I love Judge Joe Brown. Agree with everything he's saying here. Speak the truth. Speak the motherfucking truth. Judge Joe Brown is right. I didn't even see this angle until he made his point. He's so wise.
Oh, you're going in the comment section. Oh, no.
But I wanted to see if they would be like, ha, 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 girl. That's a good impression.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, we stay at the comment section.
No.
And they have no interest in this movie is to soften the public up to the idea of taking a black woman who frees slaves by leading them to freedom and getting her or another one like her on a $20 bill. They can't get a white woman, so they want a black woman. They don't care. They just want a woman, and it downs masculinity. Now, everybody on a bill is not a dead president. Don't forget Ben Franklin. He was never a president. So that's plenty of precedent to put in somebody black who was never a president. Like, let's say if we want to go back to the 19th century, like all of the rest of the people are on there, died off in the 19th century or the 18th century. We've got Ben Franklin, so we can have Frederick Douglass. Okay.
But you see, I mean, do you?
That's
you,
what I'm saying.
Okay, but you don't have a problem with a black woman, and in this case, Harriet Tubman, being memorialized in whatever way that comes. You don't have a problem with that, do you? Or do you?
I got
a
big problem if it's on a bill before they put a black man's face on one. I have a big problem with that.
Why?
Because historically, the status of an ethnic group is determined by its men, not its women.
Oh God!
And that you put a black woman on there before a black man is insulting to the black race because you're saying the men ain't worth a damn. Put a woman up there first.
I disagree.
Well, how is he employed? Did he retire from his TV show?
How is Umar the voice reason?
What is happening?
I don't know.
I know them hotels don't like this shit. I know the hotels don't like Dr. Umar being like, now hold on, man, you're going a little too far.
I mean, I just call him Queens. I mean, you're going too far. Brother, you wrong. That's not true.
Dr. Umar, Frederick Douglass gonna be on the $20 bill. I don't know.
And ain't nobody gonna believe this.
Nobody.
Oh my God. And I know they don't like it because the comment said, why is Umar acting obtuse? I'm so sick of him lately. It's clear that if me must survive, our men must be leader.
Ooh, must be leader.
Wow, these niggas are mad for real. What is the point of putting a black woman on a worthless dollar bill that is constantly depreciating? But I do agree with Judge Joe Brown. This country is all about emasculating the black man by uplifting the black woman first. That movie was all about romanticizing the slave and the slave master and making the black man the villain. Big or long, really? I don't get why people don't see the symbolism in that movie. Hollywood is full of it.
Oh, you know they was tweeting on Twitter about it.
Yeah, dose Vidanya. Come on, Judge. 5 clap emojis. I agree with you 100. A man not afraid to tell the truth. All caps. God bless you, Judge. Please keep spreading the truth. I'm a woman and I say what they're trying to do to our men. I see what they're trying to do to our men, keeping them at the bottom. We're the only group where they respect the woman before they respect the man. And it's not by accident, it's intentional. Fuck a feminist. So glad we still have men like the Honorable Judge Joe Brown standing tall on the front line, representing our people like they're supposed to be represented. They want our men to hide behind their women, shaking my head. May God bless D. Remore. Nope, I will not. And then at the end, you think it ends with pick me.
Choose me. Click here.
Hotep Tris, I choose you. Yeah.
100. You don't need to read no more. No.
Alright. Umar collects most of his donations from black women for his school. He's not going to agree with Judge Joe Brown, even though he's right. Follow the money, I guess. Follow the hotel money. Goddamn, Judge Joe Brown. Oh. That's just very special. Is he on crack?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Judge Joe Brown, the one that accused everybody of being on crack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this nigga.
I disagree. I don't think.
I won't. And the other thing is, leadership.
Honoring a black woman
needs
does
to
not
lead the black race by saying, impose your sense of responsibility on motherhood and start raising some decent young men instead of these little monsters that you have running around the house where you don't want to have a father involved with them. Start being real mothers and pay attention to it.
How is the woman I never understand that argument, because they always skip over the fact that the men grow up to be terrible men, and then the men don't raise their children, and then the women don't want monstrous men around the children, and then they also say it's the woman's fault, but it's never the fact that a nigga becomes a monster and it's on them.
Is Judge Mathis the one that say about it on crack?
Maybe Judge Mathis is crack. I don't, that, yeah, you know what, Judge Mathis is crack.
Okay.
Yeah, Judge Joe Brown is not crack. Judge Mathis think everybody on crack. It don't matter what the fuck you in there for.
You did some crack, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm in here for weed.
Yeah, sir, he stole my puppy. Is the puppy on crack? I'm like, what the fuck? What is, you sold the puppy for crack, let's be honest.
Somebody in here owns some crack.
I smell crack. Who got some crack? Meet me in my chambers.
Is that a hint of crack I smell?
I would like to meet whoever has the crack in my chambers for a brief recession. We'll be back in 20 minutes. Let's take a crack recess, everyone. I'm going to give everybody an hour to go find crack. I know all your crackers need to do some crack. And meet me in the back if y'all, if, meet me out back. Maybe he sells crack. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know.
He's like, are you on crack? Would you like to be?
I got the best shit in town.
If you got $20, you can be on crack in my courtroom, okay? You just need to play your cards right and you get some crack. Okay, I guarantee you that. God damn, Judge Mathis a hotel. Boy, I don't know how this, what is this world coming on to, man? Judge Joe Brown a hotel for me, not Judge Mathis. What is the world coming to? Alright, you know what? We've been 2 hours. Let's do the story ratchetness and get out of here. Okay. Oh, man. What, 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100. Everybody.
Dracarys.
Everybody get 100.
Dra-fucking-cars. This nigga.
Woo, everybody get 100.
That is ridiculous.
Ain't it?
They gonna put him on there for a black man because, you know, they're trying to destroy and emasculate us. My Hollywood sources. This nigga.
I'm surprised he ain't go to doing that ain't gonna do nothing but make the black men gay. What?
Right.
What are we talking about?
I didn't finish. It's
there
seven
are gay black men. Like
it's five more minutes. It's 5 more minutes, so he may
oh
have.
Yeah, you know he crossed all the lines.
Damn, Umar must really need that school money. He was actually he taking
don't,
up for black
don't
women.
Know how gay works.
I know his baby mama was like, where was this when I need you to take up for me? The TSA's official Instagram account showcased strange items they found throughout the year. A man learned the hard way Friday that swords don't belong in carry-on luggage.
No shit. You've been covering a lot of them stories. People are like, oops, I forgot. They were like, yeah, dog, this needs to go in the bottom of the plane.
Maybe this is an old story, because it says Sao Paulo. Was that the last one, Sao Paulo?
I don't know. Literally start blending together. The other one, the one you read before had it like TSA. The other one was
States. This is the same one. Yeah, because he said he could, he thought he could carry it because of the value of it.
Yeah, they was like, put that shit in the bottom of the plane.
All right, let's find a different one then, guys. How about,
so they didn't say you couldn't have it. They just said you can't have it on the plane.
A San Antonio man got stabbed with a sword after asking for his laptop back.
Oh, shit.
He has not been identified. He told police he had let someone borrow his laptop. When he asked for it back, the suspect stabbed him with a sword in the shoulder and he fell down the stairs. The first responders arrived to the resident around 12:30 a.m. The victim was taken to the hospital in stable condition.
Oh shit, that's a deadly ass sword.
Can I borrow your laptop? Sure, person with a sword. What? It's not your fault, but it's not your fault. All right, y'all, that's it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow for our Walking Dead recap. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.